You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Michael K. is on the radio today. And he ain't afraid to say what he's thinking.
It's the Michael K. Show.
Michael K. is on the radio today. Turn it up, it's time to get on with the show. On 98.7 ESPN Radio.
And a good afternoon, everybody. This is indeed the Michael K. Show. We thank you for joining us on a rainy Wednesday, February 28th, 2024. Michael, Don, and Peter with you. We're here till 6:30. It's a big Would You Wednesday. We're going to talk to John Smoltz. Peter mentioned it yesterday, trying to nail down Danny Nagel, possibly somewhere down the line.
What about the Otter?
And Tom Glavine. So we have Greg Maddux. We have John Smoltz today. I'm going to go through all the Braves pitchers. Leo Mazzoni might be coming on sometime next week. Yeah.
Let me think of... I'm thinking 91 staff, Michael. Lieberthal? What's his first name?
Charlie Liebrandt.
There you go. No, Charlie Liebrandt?
Yeah.
That's who it was.
Lieberthal.
Oh, there's a Lieberthal?
No.
Sure there was.
No.
How much you want to bet?
A Lieberthal on the Braves.
Not on the Braves. I'm confusing it with another ball player.
Well, it was Charlie Liebrandt.
Yeah, I don't remember. Are we forgetting another big name from like the 93-94 team? That's everybody?
Well, we got Avery.
Who was fourth?
Avery. Steve Ray Avery. Yeah. Wanted to start off today with the Knicks. Now, you can't beat them up for losing yesterday.
But I want to.
No, but you can't. It wouldn't be right. It wouldn't be right, Peter. You don't want to do things that are wrong.
Fine.
They're supposed to lose that game. They don't have Jalen Brunson. Hartenstein was out with the Achilles problem again. They don't want to play him back-to-back days. And I was taking a look at the standings. And for those that don't think there's any way, the way they're presently constructed, there's no way whatsoever that they can drop into the play-ins. They're being delusional. They're 2.5 games out of the play-in.
Oh, it's on the table.
And it came out yesterday, OG Anunoby hasn't even begun shooting yet.
I know.
And he's ahead of Julius Randle.
And those are the two guys, essentially, we're talking about, right?
Yeah, okay. You assume DiVincenzo's that the Brunson
been
thing...
Back.
Yeah.
Hartenstein, it doesn't look like that leg is going to get any better. It is what it is.
Well, Hartenstein and Brunson feel like they could just... It could be a thing.
Mitchell Robinson coming back. But I don't know how much that... moves the needle as much as OG.
No, it doesn't. You saw the stat today. This Knicks defense is essentially, Michael, 20 points worse when OG Anunoby's not playing.
Yes. It was the worst defensively efficiency before they got him.
Yep.
Then in January, it was the best.
And now, in the 11 games,
it's the worst.
Right.
So that's how much he means.
So he really is the biggest piece here. But Julius obviously is huge as well. No, I mean you're not being crazy or pessimistic to say it is totally reasonable that this team could be fighting to make the playoffs, Michael. It could happen. That's what I said. It's such a shame because we were 15 games above 500 and just thinking, are they getting the 3 seed? Are they getting the 2 seed?
Right now they might be getting the 7 seed.
Yeah, I mean you're going to be fighting. You're going to be fighting like hell to stay out of the play-in game, and then Michael, you could even have to fight to stay in the play-in game.
Well, it's such a huge disappointment in many ways because, as you said, we were thinking about them being a 2 seed, not having to play the Boston Celtics till the finals. Well, now you're looking at it. If they get in as a play-in and then they advance into the playoffs, they might play the Celtics in the first round, and then all of a sudden they get knocked out in the first round and they've gone. A shorter distance than they did last year, and they were a much improved team. And, you know, injuries are what injuries are. I'm not going to blame anybody for it, but you can't lose an entire front line. You can't have Hartenstein in and out of the lineup and not have it affect you. I think it's affecting them
now. So what do we do about it? I mean, there's nothing you can do about it. But Peter's right. Usually we kill teams that are expected to make a run that drop into the play-in, but we can't kill them because we know why they're in the situation they're in because of the injuries. So what do we do? So what you have to do then, Michael, is you're going to have to ask the guys that are healthy to play even better.
I don't know if you can ask Brunson to play any better.
Then it is what it is.
It is what it is.
This is what's frustrating about it. It's almost like talking about a manager in an analytic world in baseball. It's like, well, it's not their fault. You do it again. You couldn't kill them for last night. They had nobody on the floor.
Well, let's take a look. Right now, the Knicks are in the fourth spot.
Right.
At 35-24. Right behind them is a Heat team that's been hot of late, 33-25. They're tied with the Sixers, 5th and 6th, 33-25. So then the sixth seed, as I said, the Heat and the Sixers are tied for 5th and 6th. Then you get the Magic at 33-26. Two games back of the Knicks in the loss column. The Pacers 33-26. Two games back of the Knicks in the loss column. Now, I'm not worried about the Bulls. I'm not worried about the Hawks at 9-10. I'm worried about going to that 7-9 spot, a 7-8 spot. It stinks that we have to talk about this. It just does. This team was headed for great things, but you can't lose the quality of talent that they've lost and not expect yourself to get zapped. And they're getting zapped now. They can't win games.
Right.
And when they win games, they really go all out. They're pushed so much and done. That's why probably Brunson got hurt. He woke up with neck spasms. He carried the team against the Pistons.
And that's what's going to kill them. When these guys come back, is he going to be a shell of himself? Because you could take a look, you don't, as bad as Philadelphia's play, all's right with the world when they get Embiid back. Are they going to care where they finish?
No.
So that's a team that's going to look at and say, I don't care if we finish 6th, 5th, whatever, we got Embiid back. And you're going to see the Bucks and the Celtics, they're going to be able to rest their guys down the stretch because the Celtics are going to have a huge lead. Doesn't look like the Bucks care where they finish. And meanwhile, the Knicks, just to be able to make sure they avoid the play-in, the guys that are healthy are going to have to kill themselves to get there. That's why that Piston game might as well have been a loss, just because of the fact that now you couldn't even think about playing Brunson against the Pelicans. Now, if you had been up by 30 in the fourth quarter, maybe you could have rested some guys. Maybe if you were beating up on the Rockets instead of losing to them on the last second foul, you might have been able to rest guys. What was the Grizzly game? Remember, Michael, where they ended up playing Brunson because 20 points wasn't enough.
His ankle.
That's going to kill them. So when OG comes back and all these injured players come back, they'll be fresh. But are all the other guys that they're going to count on be shells of themselves because of how much they had to kill themselves to avoid the play-in in these last 20-some-odd games left in the season?
1-800-919-3776. As we look forward to talking to you, there's a lot of stuff to hit today. As I mentioned, it's a Would You Wednesday. I've got some very intriguing scenarios for both Don and Peter and everybody listening as well.
No,
Douglas spoke today.
He did.
And I don't think he really flashed a lot of confidence.
He's just not...
Go ahead. Talk it through.
And it's not his fault, because a lot of general managers are like that. Can you read the room? Can you give fans a little something? Can there be a little sense
of
urgency?
It's hard for him to hang on the rim right now.
But why can't you just admit your fate?
What do you mean your fate?
No, just say, listen, we got to make the playoffs. We got to be great. Like at least just own the situation that they're in. Michael, if they don't make the playoffs, they're going to wipe the earth clean of everybody. Well, why can't you own that? Why not speak with some urgency? Why can't you do that? You know, we all mock the Mora playoffs, but at least he was being honest.
Mm-hmm.
You know, is there anything? Would there be anything wrong if an emotional Joe Douglas just said, "Guys, we're gonna do everything we can to make the playoffs because I know we have to make the playoffs." That has to be an edict. Your owner wouldn't do it. Put an edict on yourself.
These guys are programmed to be vanilla, and you know what? He's also morphed into an identical twin of Brian Daboll. It's hard to tell the two of them apart now.
But I just think sometimes it's okay.
Well, you compare with Joe Douglas, his performance today, to Joe Shane's yesterday. It's not even close. Joe Shane exhibited, like, certitude about what he was saying and confidence about what he was saying.
But he's also not as desperate as Douglas. What would be so, maybe I'm wrong, but what would be so wrong of just owning the situation, of realizing we have to make the playoffs? Didn't Aaron Boone, what was the quote that he said about the season?
Hellbent.
Why couldn't that be the attitude? And listen, I don't think Aaron Boone's in danger of losing his job the way Joe Douglas would be if they missed the playoffs.
I think if the Yankees missed the playoffs, he'd be in danger of losing his job.
He might be, but I think Joe Douglas would definitely be out of it. I think everybody would be gone if they missed the playoffs.
Yeah. So would Sala, him, sure.
So would it be weak? Would it be unprofessional if you at least had a tone of just owning the sense of urgency? I mean, if Aaron Boone can do it, saying we're hell-bent on making the playoffs, why wouldn't the Jets be hell-bent on making the playoffs? With a healthy Aaron Rodgers, with all that money to be able to spend and a high draft choice, why wouldn't you be hell-bent on making the playoffs?
I think that baseball, specifically the Yankees, I mean, the Yankees talk way more than the Mets. The Yankees just have a better feel on what it means to communicate with their fan base. Football teams don't. I mean, to have GMs disappear, to have Joe Douglas completely disappear during the season and make Robert Saleh answer every single question. They're just not wired that way. They're wired to be in their office for 20 hours a day and work.
True. But there's a difference with a gentleman. Brian Cashman can make a deal every single day until the deadline. So he's obviously relevant. They don't make as many trades in football. Once the free agent signing period is, once they kick off, it's almost like the general manager is pretty much irrelevant unless he's going to fire the coach or try to pick up guys that got cut. There's not a lot of trades. There's not a lot of things that you can do in season. But here is a moment. We're at the combine. All the general managers are speaking. Then why can't you just be honest? Well, everybody knows it. Everybody knows it. They have to be hell-bent on the playoffs. Wouldn't you as a Jet fan feel good if your general manager said, we're hell-bent on making the playoffs, we must make the playoffs, the edict in the building is we are going to make the playoffs? Wouldn't that make, maybe it doesn't mean anything, but wouldn't that make you feel good to say at least he's thinking the same way we're thinking?
I just don't think they have it in them. I know what you're saying, and you're right, and I think that Jet fans that listen to him today have to feel empty. He didn't give them anything to hang their hat on. The only time he showed any emotion was about Mecole Hardman's comments. And it's funny, those comments came out yesterday. He was on the a podcast called The Pivot. And he just casually said, you know, midway through the season, I called up guys on the Chiefs and I called up the GM to get me out of here. And I said to myself, we never got to it yesterday. I said, that's tampering. Can't do that. Yeah. The contract to another team. And here's what Joe Douglas said about Hardman's comments.
Not to get into any specifics on what Mecole said, I'll just say, look, we're excited to sign Mecole. He's excited to obviously join our team in a situation. Really, Xavier Gibson really came on for us this year, and he did an outstanding job for us. So ultimately, we made a decision to move on from Mecole. But our process of adding Mecole, he was excited to be here, and it just didn't work out. And a lot of that has to do with Xavier.
Now, were you surprised at Hardman's comments asking KC to come get him?
I'll just say those are comments that definitely resonated with us.
So they're going to look for some kind of restitution, so to speak.
They're going to try to turn it into something.
Of course. I mean, if there was tampering, you they get a draft pick.
I don't know, but do players, that happens in the NBA
He also said that he called the GM or a coach.
I got to tell you,
can't call a coach.
No, but they call. I mean, I don't know. You're not allowed to pick up the phone.
I think
know
the players could do. The players could do. There's no governor on the players. There's governors on people that are coaches and that are in the front office. You can't entertain that sort of call. You just can't. Now, Joe Douglas did talk today about Woody's frustration. Woody being the owner. Here it is.
I mirror the frustration that Woody has, and Woody and I talk every day, just about every day. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we're certainly on the same page. And again, I like the position we're in. There's a lot of talent coming back to this team. We have to add more to it. We know exactly what we have to do moving forward. And the pressure is always intrinsic in this job whenever you walk in every day. I can tell you that we're not stressed. We're prepared to answer the bell here with the decisions that have to be made moving forward. And so a lot of that has to do with the meetings that we had after the last time I talked to you guys. And I feel really good about all of us, the personnel staff and coaching staff, analytics, everybody being on the same page.
What page is that? What page are they on?
It's the Sleepy Tom Bobo page. Can I just say one more thing? You don't find it weird that with this team, though, Mecole Hardman's just another one? Like, he gave his explanation about Gibson, but there's always a reason they go out and get a player and then just can't do anything with them. Like, why does that happen so often?
Like Dalvin Cook.
Yeah. And if we go back to last year, it feels like almost every year there's a wide receiver they add to this team.
How many times you talk to Saleh about Mims?
Yeah.
They get these. They're not an offensive team. I mean, you have a defensive coach. You keep changing the offensive perspective with a different offensive coordinator. It does feel like the offense does get neglected sometimes. Because I don't really hear any misuse of a defender. But, you know, whether it's Mims, whether it's Hartman, it always seems like somebody's being misused on the offensive side of the ball.
I just don't get it. And it's like, oh, yeah, you know, it's just because of Gibson. Well, you didn't think there was any possibility when you brought in Mecole Hardman that another player could be good? Usually teams can figure out how to use multiple good players.
Well, it's a mark against Hardman that Gibson beat him out. But then it's a mark against the Jets that this guy goes back to Kansas City and wins his third ring in 5 years.
He has the game-winning touchdown in the Super Bowl.
And you know what Hardman said, rather than like listen to everything he said, he essentially said that once Rodgers went down, there was no plan B. They didn't know how to readjust.
That was a fact.
Yeah.
Also, how do you feel, Michael, about Saleh going full Don LaGreca at like a work event and just I'm good on the combine?
A lot of coaches are doing that. A lot of coaches are leaving the combine to the GMs because they can do more work in the stadium, and then they can join all the interviews via Zoom. They don't have to go to St. Elmo's.
First of all, big mistake. You should go to St. Elmo's. Second of all, I just feel like with this team, optically, I'd like to see Saleh doing everything humanly possible. But I hear you. But again, St. Elmo's, the cocktail sauce. My God.
It's not worth it. You know, traveling halfway across the country.
I'm going to bring some in.
You're going to change your mind. Halfway. It's still the Eastern time zone. It's right at the cusp.
You know, I just booked the trip to Houston for the opener.
All right.
4 hours and 11 minutes. It's just, it's insidious.
I don't
trips
get the math.
To Texas are insidious.
Explain the math.
Why is it 5 hours to California? Only 49 more minutes.
It's more than five to California, though.
But say it's six. Is Texas not, it's halfway across the country, right?
It's further, though. It's further west than it is halfway.
Farther.
It's farther west. Who cares?
I'm trying to help you.
It's farther west.
And I also listened to your show in the morning. I'll talk off the air.
But does it make
sense? No, you didn't. You couldn't have listened.
I absolutely did.
And you have to talk off the air about it?
Well, you know, I certainly don't need to be that honest on the air.
Oh, my God.
I just heard, one thing I heard, that you guys were playing a song and talking over it.
Oh, it's a game.
No, it wasn't a game. It was right before you went into your guru stuff.
Yeah, that's after the game. That's a segment where we play a song. We're talking about the song.
Yeah, that was a little much for me.
So you obviously, Don, you know how I know he didn't really listen? He just did it to say that he did it?
I did listen.
So you heard when I played Build Me Up Buttercup?
No. I wasn't in the car that long.
But that's the thing.
How long were you in the car?
10 minutes.
And how much did you listen to 10 minutes?
10 minutes.
Well, okay.
10 minutes. And who's the guy that sounded like he had laryngitis? It wasn't Ebro. This guy had a voice like that.
Does someone sound like,
Yeah.
Was it Castle? Was it Johnny?
You sound different, by the way, on that show than this one.
No, you do.
You guys, actually, we haven't done the show before.
Well, I've never heard it. It's new to me.
If we talked about it, it was easily 2 years ago.
Oh, so I mean, it's true. You have new listeners every day.
I'm not being negative about it, but I do think there's a different tone.
Absolutely.
Your voice.
100%.
Yeah, you're a different guy.
I wouldn't go. I don't think I'm a different guy.
I didn't say that, Peter.
I did. I said it. He wanted me to listen. I've got notes.
It's the most overrated criticism, though. Like, people talk different in different scenarios.
I talk the same in everything I do. Everything.
I don't think that's true.
I talk the same on Yankee games.
Really?
Talk the same on Santa Fe.
Hey, Don. Don. LaGreca. Do you think Michael talks the same in the pre-show meetings? He talks on the air?
No,
his tone, your tone and inflections is a little different.
I'm not saying, obviously, content is different.
It's the same thing.
No, it's not. You sound different. I don't sound different in the pre-show meeting.
You're talking a different, I'm not talking about the words you say.
I understand, but the point is, it's still changing who you are in some way. Some people, it's the words. I mean, it is pretty different, Don, to have entire vocabulary you would never even consider. In one time, and not only use the vocabulary, Don, if someone were to say something that even resembles that, think of it as one thing, filth. And then in a conversation privately, you go, I can use the word, not the F word, of course. We know that is a hard line rule for Michael. But that's unfortunate. Michael listened to everyone's favorite segment on the show today and thought it was so bad that didn't want to bring it up on the air.
Favorite segment? You talking over a song? That was the favorite segment? And then you found out at that point that somebody died. You got very affected by that, too. I forget who it was who died.
Oh, was it Virgil, right?
No, Virgil did die today also.
But somebody said, I didn't know that. And I heard in your voice, I
don't know him.
You said he was just here.
He had just been at the radio station.
I was consuming. I was taking notes as I was driving.
But you missed Whitish Wednesday. You obviously came in at the end of Whitish Wednesday.
Yeah.
So at the end of Whitish Wednesday, after we play all the, quote, Whitish,
right,
we then do Shawnee Culture's Culture Classics. And he plays a few...
I must have missed it.
A yeah. few songs. And right. then we also talk about the cultural significance of those songs.
Gotcha.
I'm glad I don't think you know, it's didn't not for sound him. Like you were completely engaged. You might have been listening.
Well,
but
first
I don't think
of all, Callie
it.
Was in the backseat. Charlie's lost his voice, so he stayed home.
Is everything all right?
He obviously has a cold, and I didn't know if it was safe for Callie to hear it.
Didn't know it was safe. Would You Wednesday is a way, as I said, way edgier. You know what people say about Would You Wednesday?
They're still in school at Would You Wednesday.
By the way, why weren't they in school at this time? I thought you said they were dropped off by 8 o'clock or something.
8:30.
Oh, got it.
Then what time do they get out of school?
8:45 it starts.
And what time did they get out?
3:30.
Okay, well, we do Would You Wednesday at 3:45. They can very easily be in the car.
Jody keeps the radio station off when it's Would You Wednesday.
What if she has a meter?
Let's go to Ira in Staten Island. Ira.
Oh, look at that.
Hey, Michael, Don, Peter. How are you? Good afternoon.
Good. What's up?
And nothing. Just want to comment on a couple of things you were talking about. First of all, Don's spot on. I understand these guys aren't going to tell you much. But it would have been a little more sense of urgency to know that, you know, that they were pretty much put on a mandate to make the playoffs and kind of spin it a little more positively. But, you know, I guess when you have to say that you're trading the second pick overall that you made 3 years ago because it didn't work out, I guess it's hard to do that. And then the other thing, the Hardman comments, you know what? Sometimes you look at players and they might have a gripe once they leave the team. But everything that he said was in that article in The Athletic. And that's really disturbing. And then you look at that, and it's, you know, you really, I'll tell you the truth, I'm trying to be optimistic about this franchise going forward, but I have major concerns what's going on over there, especially with all the coaches that have left, some that they got rid of, or more so they walked out, personnel people walked out. It's just, you know, what is really going on in Florham Park? And one thing about ESPN, I'll tell you the truth, I enjoyed the coverage so much. I know you probably can't talk about it. I just hope people who work behind the scenes that the move that the Jets made, it won't affect those people.
Oh, we can talk about anything, Ira. For those that don't know what Ira's talking about, the Jets have left 98.7, and they've gone to another station. And as far as we know, people behind the scenes, it looks like they will go over with them. But, you know, one guy who loses out is Anthony. You know, Anthony makes extra money doing the Jets on the weekend, and you know, obviously, he works for us, so he can't go to another station to do that. But Bob Wischusen, I was texting him today, and Marty Lyons, they're going to be doing the game still.
Yeah.
And, you know, well, I would say, I guess pre- and post-game still up in the air, but we'll see.
It's a tough day for somebody like me, because I the whole time I've ever been at the radio station, we had a relationship with the Jets, and of course, I worked pre- and post for 16 years on the Jets. I know a lot of those people. But we're still going to cover the team. We're still going to have access to players like we do any other franchise that isn't on our air. And I do know that relationships are going to try to stay intact. So I still think we have plans on going out there to training camp. I still think we have plans on interviewing players and coaches when they were made available, like they are with other teams. I think we've had a great relationship with the Giants, and they've never been on our air. Mm-hmm. In fact, they've always been on the rival station, and yet we've still had a chance to talk to
Dable and Shane. Well, and it's Dable, not like the Jets Shane. Left for a rival station either.
No.
They're on a rock station.
But we'll be fine. We're going to be okay. But it is a strange day when you have a relationship with a team for two decades, and they're gone. But I think they'll be fine, and we'll be fine.
You know,
I'm happy for Anthony. I'll pay you whatever the Jets
we
give
still
you.
Have.
Enjoy your weekend.
Because we have a 20-year relationship with the Jets, we still have some microphones embedded in the facility.
Okay.
And when Robert Saleh heard that you know, he doesn't have to come on every Monday with us,
mm-hmm.
this is what came out of his office.
Is this true? Is that true? The happy days thing?
Yeah, he was so thrilled.
Wow.
He was so happy.
So we're going to still have, like in Casino, that, what was it, Peter? It was like a some grocery store in Kansas City that the FBI was able to use the old microphone. Like, we're still going to have the microphones from, like, when we had it back in the Herm days.
You catch it all. Active.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah. You kidding me?
I'm sorry that, you know, I'm not a reporter now, because, I mean, you can get those little microphones and put them places nobody will ever know, and you'll know every conversation that people are having. You'll say, well, that's unethical. It might be.
But you do it.
I would think about it.
I don't think might's the word I'd use.
He would do it.
I say it would definitely be wrong and unethical, Peter.
It might be.
He said it might be unethical. I don't think.
Yeah, it's 100% unethical.
You know, bugging phones would be wrong. You think?
Yeah, and you could have done that back then too.
No, no, but you know, I was so good at what I did, I didn't need any kind of artificial help. And but now I'm 63, just to save myself some legwork.
Yeah. Could you imagine if Billy Martin found a microphone? It would probably be a big, huge microphone under the desk, because this was back in the early 80s, so the technology wouldn't be. But can you imagine if Billy Martin found a microphone under his desk and it was Michael who put it there? Would he have done to Michael? He would have beaten
him. I'll tell you a quick story. Billy always thought the room was bugged.
Of course.
Like, but for upstairs, for people upstairs.
Yeah, not by the meeting.
And like, we'd be sitting in the room alone, he'd go, watch this. This guy stinks. He would like scream into what he thought was the microphone, like just so that people could hear what he had to say.
And it was probably just a rubber plant. There were probably.
I bet this sounds
microphone.
Like a crazy person.
Billy was the best.
All due respect. Well, those two things are not mutually exclusive.
The best. Hey, getting engaged will be one of the most exciting times of your life. And the winning team at London Jewelers is there to help you pop the question. The cutting-edge technology and trained professionals at London Jewelers can help you select a ring from their 2x London collection or design the absolute perfect ring at any budget. So whether you're starting out or starting over, let the engagement experts at London Jewelers help you. Visit London Jewelers at any of their 7 locations, including the Americana Manhasset and the Mall at Short Hills.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And, boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts.
It's game time, brought to you by Tullamore Dew Irish Whiskey. The Rangers look to get revenge against the Blue Jackets at MSG with coverage immediately following us right here on 98.7. That's game time, brought to you by Tullamore Dew Irish Whiskey, because when it's game time, it's Tully time. Tullamore Dew, the original triple distilled, triple blended, and triple cask matured Irish Whiskey. Be sure to grab a Tullamore Dew or try the brand new Tullamore Dew Honey during tonight's action. Glasses up to enjoying Tullamore Dew responsibly. 1-800-919-3776. That's the number. We'll go to Frank in Buffalo. Frank.
Yeah, Michael, great to be on. First time, long time.
Oh, thanks.
You were mentioning Billy Martin before. It made me think of 1976. A bunch of my friends and I from Buffalo went down to Fenway Park to see the Yankees and a Red Sox 4-game series. There was a day-night doubleheader on Saturday. Yankees lose both games. It's in July. Brings them to within about 6.5 of the Yankees. Who do we run into in this Daisy Buchanan's bar in Boston afterwards is Billy Martin. Also there was Lou Piniella on the other side of the bar, and Jim Mason and Greg Nettles off to the side having a beer. And we went up to Martin. He was sitting by himself at the, you know, we were a little reticent to go up, and we went up. He could not have been nicer. He actually talked baseball with us. He talked about his pitching rotation. We asked him, was he nervous that they had lost a doubleheader? And he said, no, if I'm nervous, then the players get nervous. And I thought that was great because a lot of times you run into celebrities, they won't want to talk about their expertise. You know, you want to run into somebody that's a comedian, they want to talk about their show. They'll talk about their car collection. So I just wanted to say that he was fabulous to us. Could not have been nicer.
Well, I mean, that's the experience I had with Billy. I mean, I'm not going to deny that Billy had demons, and when Billy had too much to drink, I don't think you want to really engage with him. But there was that like happy time right before it got to be too much. He was a delight. He was a baseball genius.
Was his? I don't even speak out of school, so. But was the drinking thing like an every night that you're out with him, or sometimes?
He liked to drink.
So it was happening.
Yeah.
It was just a matter of how much and right. When you caught him.
See, a lot of managers, you know, their rule is that the hotel bar is mine, and you have to go somewhere else.
For the team or for?
The hotel bar is mine. Well, you tell his teammates, you have to go somewhere. You tell his players, you have to go somewhere else. But, you know, Billy, you know, Daisy Buchanan's was a big hangout back in the day. It doesn't exist anymore, but it was unbelievable. Mm. Unbelievable. 1-800-919-3776. These are the progressive I brought in for you, Peter.
Oh.
If you'd like to try them.
I like the frames.
Thanks.
By the way.
Yeah, they're very, don't look like glasses.
Okay, by the way, so you're saying that when I look up.
Right, now look down and that's how you read. Don't dip your head.
Oh, but I don't.
Dip your eyes.
Oh.
I got to tell you, those glasses look fabulous on him. I think those glasses look better than the ones he wore.
Well, they're too expensive for me to give it to him.
I don't mind these.
Well, because they're not really glasses. There's not even frames. It's just a little nose.
What do you mean there's not glasses?
I mean, it's not like a frame.
Oh, so there's a very minuscule frame.
No, there is no frame. The only thing holding it together are the arms and the nose.
Interesting. A lot of people have strong feelings about my current glasses going together.
1-800-919. Yeah, they're not good. Let's go to Anthony on the mail truck.
Should I go with my wife's opinion or yours?
No, go with ours. What's up? She loves you already. Hello, Anthony.
What's going on, guys? How are you?
Good. What's up?
Nothing much. Big shout out to the company of Jace. So I came in 5 minutes late to the show, so I apologize for missing the first 5 minutes. But I heard the Knicks conversation going on, and, you know, I just wanted to say, listen, in my 28 years of living, I have not seen a Knicks basketball team as good and as promising as this team. With that being said, I just feel like when they get healthy, and that's a big when, because, you know, it could be an if as well, but when they get healthy, I think that they're, you know, at least a top three team in the East, and that's excluding the Sixers, because all they really have is Embiid and Maxi, and after that, you know, you can get to their bench, and I feel like this Knicks team is deep enough to, you know, hopefully they don't run into the Celtics early on in the playoffs, because I think the Celtics are the best they've been in years.
But Anthony, the problem is that if they continue to be hurt, and it looks like it's still going to be a while, they are not going to be the third seed. Now, they might be the third best team, in your opinion, but they're going to be sixth or seventh. They might have to do a play-in game in order to get into the playoffs. So these injuries are not without ramifications. They will get hurt by these injuries. No pun intended. They just will. You can't absorb this kind of injury over and over. I mean, well, if you looked at yesterday's team, four of their five starters were out.
And that's why I mentioned this 2 weeks ago, and I'm going to stand by it. I think the championship conversation is off the table. Now, can this team maybe find a way to the conference final? Yes. If they are able to sustain a four seed, catch a break here or there, not have to play the Celtics till the third round, I think there's a chance they can make it to the third round for the first time since 2000. Michael, a championship's off the table. The guys that are healthy are going to have to kill themselves to get a higher seed. We don't know when these guys are coming back. So how would you expect them to be able to come back, Michael? Possibly, maybe the last week of the regular season or for the playoffs, and then everything's going to click and they're going to win four rounds in a championship.
You know what you have to hope you have happened? That is 1999 again, where they were the eighth seed, but they weren't really an eighth seed. They had talent that would make them higher.
Right.
And they went all the way to the championship and ended up losing in the finals. The Knicks, NBA just announced the Knicks game protest.
Hold on, this is big news. Play the breaking news sound. Well, this is very big.
This is the Hoops update.
Okay.
Brought to you by Bet365.
Give it to me.
The Knicks game protest about the Rockets.
All right, please. So wait, hold on. Tell me they got it. Please.
The NBA Today.
Please,
denied.
Oh!
The New York Knicks protest of their 105-103 loss to the Rockets on February 12, 2024. The Knicks protested the result of the game on the ground that a shooting foul was called incorrectly on Jalen Brunson for making contact with the Rockets.
You know what?
Aaron Holiday during a last-second shot attempt. Under the standard for NBA game protests, New York was required to demonstrate that there was a misapplication of the official playing rules as opposed to an error in judgment. And I told you that's the only way you could protest anything back when it happened. So the officials made a bad call?
Wait.
Okay.
So wait. Does this mean they're not going to overturn the game result and make it a Knicks win?
No. And you know what, though? They won't overturn the game result where they'll give them a loss against the Pistons either.
Really?
Because
they don't even do that, and the whole thing is just a bunch
of
nothing.
Fugazi.
Oh, they had to put out a statement about that?
But why can't the...
The statement should just say, our bad. Can't the statement just say, our bad?
Well, they did when the officials said we were wrong.
Yeah, we got it wrong.
Well, but then the Knicks protested for some reason.
Well,
and I mean, the Knicks were foolish because the only way you win a protest is for a misapplication of rules.
No, but this... The apples-to-apples comparison would be that something happened in a basketball game, and there'd be a review. And they'd review it. And then after the review, they'd say it wasn't eligible to be reviewed. Why couldn't they say instantaneously, this doesn't apply for a protest, so we're not even accepting the protest?
It took a week, Don.
I mean, I'm just guessing. I've been told. I think this came from way upstairs. That somebody way upstairs in the garden was so ticked off.
I will tell you, if I had to guess, I would think Jim Dolan's like, protest it. Right?
And Leon Rose probably said we can't win.
But I'm not faulting the Knicks for filing the protest. What I'm saying is the NBA, as soon as the protest came in, instantaneously should have said, this isn't eligible for protest. Michael, do they review something in football and then come back and say it's not reviewable?
No.
No, they tell you right away it's not reviewable. Well, so why couldn't they do that? Why they wasted two? It was like 2 weeks ago.
That's your Hoops Update, brought to you by Bet365. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gene in Virginia. Genie.
Hi, Gene.
Gents, hello. Good to speak with you all. Thank you all so much.
What's up?
First off, I need to say that Salah, when they showed his face on the screen the first game, that was going to tell you the way the season was going to go. Next point. I listened to Whitish Wednesdays, and Mike, you didn't listen long enough.
Yeah, he didn't give it a chance.
I didn't give him a full like 15 minutes like you want. I didn't give him an average quarter hour, and I came in too late for Whitish Wednesday.
He even threw in a sorry doesn't fix the language.
I heard, and that ticked me off. What are you stealing my dad's line for?
Wait, it's
you said sorry doesn't fix the lamp.
As an homage?
Oh my God!
No, I don't take it as an homage because he didn't say.
Does it sound
from Michael K's dad?
I'd already mentioned you once on the segment. I had to mention.
When did you mention me on the segment?
It doesn't matter. You missed it. You didn't hear it.
But you used my dad's line,
Gene. You're a good man. I appreciate.
I know,
but it was a nod to you after
he's being a bad guy.
Exactly,
and he knows.
So after I played Build Me Up Buttercup, thank you. You're a great guy. After I played Build Me Up Buttercup specifically as a nod to you. And mentioned that song. I believe it's that's what I mentioned to you, is that I said that this is a song you really like, blah, blah, blah.
Then, and I sang it at my wedding.
I didn't include that, sorry. But then I included a Sorry Doesn't Fix the Lamp, Don, as like a follow-up homage.
Yeah, but it's not...
Instead, he gets ticked off.
It's not an homage to me. My dad said it, and your listeners don't know my dad said it.
And they
people know who Charles K was.
According to Peter... I won the point, God, on the way to the elevator to get the coffee.
What'd you say?
Can you imagine if somebody judged this show out of an arbitrary 10 minutes, just picking 10 minutes out of like any of our 3.5-hour show and then judging the entire show on?
People that write in the paper do that.
And it's not right.
It's not right.
If they wanted to say this show isn't any good, listening to just any arbitrary 10 minutes. If you're talking about Billy Martin, you're like, wow, you know, the Knicks lost a tough game to the Pelicans, and Joe Douglas spoke at the Combine, and they're opening with Billy Martin from 40 years ago. What's going on?
Or what if they just...
Do they got a calendar over there?
What if they tune in and just hear Would You Wednesday next? We know that doesn't go well.
Well, for some people love it.
I'm one of those.
You like it?
So I'm a big fan.
What did Ebro say about Build Me Up Buttercup? Because I only care about what Ebro thinks.
You don't care what he thinks because you don't listen to his program. So
I'm not listening to the radio at that time.
But you did, and you still didn't. But anyways, Build Me Up Buttercup was hilarious. Because we played, when I played it, Laura jumped in at the beginning before the singing started.
Right.
And she said, why? She was like, why don't you build me up?
Build me up.
But instead of thinking it was build me up buttercup, she thought it was wake me. She went, build me up before you go go.
Oh. Wow, she was just confusing decades.
Decades. She just, and then, and then for some reason, Cast was like not paying attention to Laura's guess, I guess, and said, build me up. And I'm like, that already is wrong. So then it came down to Shawnee. It played longer. And he guessed something else that wasn't build me up buttercup.
Sad.
And Ebro and I both shook our heads and said this was a tough moment for the show.
Ebro knew, though?
He
knew
build me up buttercup? Yeah.
Well, the other two didn't.
Yeah, but Ebro knows build me up buttercup.
Hey, when I'm getting ready for a game, I have to be prepared. I have my lineup cards, the latest team stats, and of course, my mug of Bigelow tea. For me, it's the Bigelow Earl Grey with a smooth taste. Keeps my voice in peak condition, even when the game goes into extra innings. I refuse to settle. Neither should you. No matter how hectic your day gets, grab your favorite Bigelow tea. Take a moment just for you. So grab a mug of your favorite Bigelow tea. Join the millions of fans that make Bigelow number one in New York. Bigelow tea, the official hot tea of the New York Yankees.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN. It's uncomfortable.
No, I don't think I could.
Really? But she's total smoke show.
At times incriminating.
Well, hold on.
Let's not be rash.
Don, hold on, but don't answer yet.
And a Michael K. Show favorite.
Michael, you're such a chime.
It's the Would Ya Game.
We play it off the air all the time. The Would Ya Game. Well, our first Would Ya is from our good friend Anthony Greek. And boy, this got my attention because Anthony Greek, the producer on the Yes side. All right, would you? You have two pills in your hand. Two pills,
all right.
One pill awards you $50 million.
Oh, interesting.
The second pill, you are forced to have one limb removed of your choice, but you're also awarded $20 million. Would you take a pill or pass?
How does he come up with these things?
He's dark.
He's a sick man.
All right, so what was the first total?
The first 50. One is just $50 million. You take a pill, and that's the $50 million. Or you take the second pill, you have to lose a limb, but you'll get $20 million. So either way, you're getting at least $20 million. But with one of the pills, you're getting $20 million and losing a limb.
Again, this is one of those privileged answers for me. I don't have $20 or $50 million, but I'm good.
You're not taking a pill.
I'm not going to take the pill. I'm good. It's not like if I was down and out,
right?
I certainly, you got to do it. But I'm okay right now. I'm going to take my chances.
Okay. Let's see. Would you rather win the lottery or live twice as long? Let's say the lottery is $20
million. Right.
Or live twice as long. Like if you're going to die at 70, you live to 140.
I don't know that 140, if you're the only one who's living that long.
You'll make new friends.
I don't know that you will.
I think you would. And if you have kids, you'll see their kids and their grandkids.
No, you'll see your kids get old and die.
Yeah, okay.
And it'll be really depressing.
Yeah, see, everybody thinks that like living forever, because there was that show, I think it was called Forever. It didn't last long on ABC. Judd Hirsch was in it.
Oh, Judd Hirsch vehicle.
Right. So the guy, he was living centuries. So he had a child. So if the show picks up in modern times, Judd Hirsch is the child. He's 80 years old. Like, he's going to see his son born and then see his son die. Everybody that you know, every friend that you have, you'll attend their funeral.
Like, everyone.
Like, at some point, you're going to be like, all right, I'm done, but you can't die. I got 140. I need to know the quality of life for maybe the last, 50 years of that. Like, I could be 140. I might be on a machine. I might be bedridden. I'll take the lottery money.
Yeah, I'm taking the lottery money.
Really sad news just now.
Seriously?
Yeah. Richard Lewis died.
Oh,
you know what's
man.
So
he looked really
amazing.
Bad in the curb. He's been battling.
Was he sick?
76. Yeah, he was sick for a while.
Because I'm behind. So I saw episode 3. And I was watching it with Nancy. And I'm like, how old is Richard Lewis?
He and Larry are the same age. They were born the same day.
He looks.
Same hospital.
And this was the episode where he's talking about he's going to leave money to Larry, right. And so that was kind of prophetic that way. And then when I looked up and I saw that he was, what was it, 73?
76.
Or 76. I'm like, wow, he looks a lot older than 76. I didn't know that he was sick.
Yeah, he had Parkinson's.
It had been getting worse there for a while. But, oh, man.
Yeah.
At least he got to see the season start. And he'd been pretty active, at least on, it seems to be him on social media.
Yeah.
He seems active. He was funny, man. Richard Lewis... I mean, there are going to be so many people who only know him from Curb.
Right, but he had a great stand-up career.
They don't remember the stand-up, the walking
and also
around.
The show with Jamie Lee Curtis.
Yes, the Jamie Lee Curtis vehicle.
Yeah.
What was the name of that show again?
It wasn't Mad About You was the other one. It was something like that.
It was very similar to that.
Yeah, pretty good show. Oh, man. I will get back to Would You Now.
Well,
would you rather be...
No, let's move on.
Would you rather be fluent in every language?
Every
language. Every language, or... a master of all musical instruments.
Ooh, that's so good. Because I almost look at it as the same. Like, I can't imagine somebody being able to play an instrument and then somebody being able to speak another language. I'll go with the instrument. I would rather.
I go with the instrument, too.
Hey, listen, let me tell you something. To be able to play a guitar?
Well, many people.
Play the drums? A lot of people speak a bunch of different languages, and nobody gathers around them to talk.
He's in every language,
and everybody can. You can be fluent in every language and be a complete dolt.
If I could play every instrument,
can you?
Let's say we're at a party.
Hold on, you think you could be fluent in every language and be a dolt?
Yeah.
Well, what does dolt mean then?
A moron, just no, completely clueless.
You couldn't be.
Okay, it's a different ear. It's not
every language.
Everyone.
Who's cooler? If you're at a party. And there's a guy over there, he actually can, if you're at a wedding, he can grab every one of those instruments, play it flawlessly. And there's a guy over here that can speak 1,000 different languages. Who are you going to go over and talk to?
Well, look what happened in the Animal House on the stairs. He destroyed that guitar.
He did.
I think you'd probably think either one was a Nas if they started doing it at the wedding. But I'll tell you what, Don, who would you rather go on a random trip to, when you're 21 years old, taking trips to random parts of the world where you speak every language? There'd be some benefit there as well.
No, I'm good.
Really?
Yeah. Would you rather...
But you don't leave the country. You don't even know what the feeling would be.
My answer is,
oh, no, Don's
I'm
answer,
good.
You know what? He's good.
He's good. Would you rather stay young physically or mentally?
Mentally.
Yeah, but does that mean that doesn't mean that I'm completely out of it? I just can't get any more smarter. Like how am I? How am I?
What are you talking about? Which one? How am I? You're young physically,
right? Or but I'm an old man mentally. Do God forbid? Am I senile?
I don't know, but you think old.
Some people would say this has already happened.
I'll take the physical to be able to go out there and play ball with the kids.
Beautiful.
You know what? It's
I could keep doing the Sasso softball until I was like 100.
Hitting home runs at 100.
I'd be running in the wrong direction.
Yeah, exactly. But still hitting dongs.
Would you rather have...
What would I be hitting?
Dongs.
Dongs. Would you rather have your flight delayed by 8 hours or have your luggage lost?
Oh, man.
Lost for good?
Lost. You mean, is that no, no. Is that for good or you get it?
It could be a week. You get it back a week later. Oh, maybe?
Then I'm going with that. As long as I get it back. If it's for good, Don, and you had stuff in there you cared about, that's not good. But 8 hour delay.
I think I would. So I'd go on the trip, have to buy everything.
Yeah.
You know, you're rich. You got it.
Yeah, you're right.
This is from David Novak, and this is for me. I'll see you.
This Kim's dad.
Would you rather spend a whole day listening to Peter on Hot 97 or spend a whole day watching Peter hosting for WWE? I take the WWE.
Really?
Yeah.
They do a really good show. I would take the listening. No offense. I'm not a big wrestling guy. I think I would just, again, eventually get bored. I've listened to your show. I never get bored.
I think you don't.
I think they do a really good job.
Well, you know what you did, though? You listen. That's the thing.
Frank P. goes, would you rather hurt your wife's feelings that she looks awful in an outfit where she'll be mad at you, or let her wear it out where others would likely critique her for wearing it and be mad at you for not telling her?
You got to go with the first one, and it's unfortunate, but you got to be willing to hurt your partner's feelings, I think, if you're helping them.
What animals do you hang out with that are going to criticize you?
No, but it'll be behind your back.
Then she wouldn't know.
Good point.
I go with the latter.
What are you, a genius, Tom?
He really is something special. Would you rather have a rewind button or a pause button of your life?
Oh!
Like you said, like the kids are at a perfect age, just pause. You stay right there.
But rewind, hang with people who are gone?
Mm-hmm. But you can't change anything.
You just go back and do it again?
Yeah.
Well, you automatically could change something because you're there.
You're going
to
rewind. I know, but it's not like that. That was fiction. This is real. You rewind and you go back to a certain time and you just live it again.
You can feel it again and be there.
It's
tough.
I would rewind. I'd go back.
You sure?
And this is a shout out.
Because the pause right now. Think about a pause.
Now, can I only rewind my life?
Yeah.
Or can I go back to
No, you can go right back to the night where your dad started ripping pizza boxes and live it all over again.
How do you say no to that? Honestly. Seriously. My dad would be there? I'd be able to... Would I be,
I just said like the idea that the pizza box
night. I can't change anything, but can
but
I...
But you can all revel in it. You can live it again.
But do I go back and then I'm just... Or am I looking at it, or am I go back and I'm...
You're living it, but I you're also above the scene watching it.
Don, if you...
But
if,
I can't play a part. No. I can't ask my dad anything.
No.
You're just watching it. Getting to be there for it.
And while Don's shout out from Michael Richardson. I don't know if it's Michael Ray, but Michael Richardson, his best friend Ian Pilitzer from Marlboro, New Jersey, is getting married to Marissa.
Oh,
a fellow handsome Jewish man huge fan of TMKS.
Thank you.
He is the person that got me to listen to all of you. Ian loves the Yankees, is a big Bengals fan. He's getting married at Shadowbrook in Shrewsbury, New Jersey this Saturday.
Okay.
We're going to be there, Michael. We'll show up, all three of us.
Is that true?
Yeah.
All right, I'm in.
Shadowbrook.
Ian and Marissa, let's go.
We always check that place out.
Really?
Checked it out, yeah.
Well, why did you say no? Bad food?
No, what? Don't bury the place.
No, the place is great. Michael.
I think it really just came down, trying to remember, because it was almost 20 years ago. No, because it's sad to say, but Nancy's father was alive at the time, and he was in a scooter, and we were trying to see if it was accessible for him to be able to get around. And it was wheelchair accessible, but we felt that he wouldn't be comfortable being able to go to the bathroom and stuff. So I think we, I remember really liking that place.
Well, good. They're getting married Saturday.
Now, what do you mean he was in a scooter, not a wheelchair?
Hold these questions. We have John Smoltz coming up.
Well, he
can't make a Hall of Fame weight.
No, we listen, it's our show.
He's
we do
not better
wrong.
Than me. I don't sweat
He's not better than me.
He is better than you.
Really?
By a lot. Yeah, by a lot.
At pitching.
He's better at what he did than what we do. He's better than us.
But that's not that doesn't
not
make
as
you a
good,
person.
Better.
There's a plenty of guys that were better than John Smoltz at what he did, and these are awful human beings. I wouldn't give the time of day to.
But you know who you would give the time of day to? The people of Mazda.
Well, and first we got to establish that it's 2024. You get more. Just in case you hit rewind, you don't know what year it is.
Right.
At Ramsey Mazda, more selection, more savings. For a limited time, they'll waive the first lease payment. Lease the new 2024 Mazda CX-5, just $289 a month, and now get your first lease payment on them at Ramsey Mazda. Route 17 North in Ramsey. Choose wisely. Choose Ramsey Mazda. Call 833-853-2970 for lease details. Excludes tax, title, and registration. Zero security deposit. VIN R0410549. MSRP $30,750. Ends 2/29/24.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York. The ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.